Good evening. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for another beautiful day that you've given to us, Lord. And thank you for this evening that we can come and just worship you and open up your word and fellowship with one another, the body of Christ, Lord. And we thank you for the work on the cross that you did that enables us to come so freely into your presence. And so we ask that your spirit would be here now in this place. And as we worship, Lord, I just pray that our minds would be clear and our hearts would be just full of love and adoration for you, and the distractions of the day or our lives would slowly fade away, and that your name would be glorified and lifted up.
Sings my soul, my Savior God.
Reigning and ruling and have complete control over every event, circumstance that goes on in our lives and in this world around us. And we surrender now to you completely. We ask that your spirit would be here moving in our hearts and in our lives, changing and molding and transforming us into images of you, Lord. For you are who we want to be like and who we want to reflect. And we love you. In your name, amen.
Thank you. Am I on? Can you hear me? Thank you, Rachel and Aaron. Rachel's my daughter and the grandmother of my favorite little Wesley, and another little bun in the oven. She's like, Mom, I can't believe you said that, but we're super excited. And Aaron, we love Aaron. Thank you, ladies. How are you ladies today? This evening? Good? Did you guys have a good day? I woke up this morning ready to go in this day, and my to-do list was numbered, ready, set, and one of the first things I had to do this morning was take my youngest daughter to get her driver's license test. Man, I'm feeling old. Everything that she does as my youngest is like making me feel so old. But anyway, so we go, we practice, you know, she's prepared, yada, yada, yada. We park and do the paperwork and go back, we get in the car, we do everything, and the guy gets, you know, lady, you can leave the car. I'll meet you on the other side of the building. Great. So I go to the other side of the building, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. I didn't see them pull out, and all of a sudden, he's standing next to me, and he's like, your car won't start. I'm like, what? You've got to be kidding me. Well, the battery died right in that moment when she was going to go take the test. Is that insane? But we started laughing, both of us, because we were like, this is so how God is sometimes. Isn't that true? Like, I have my plan, I have my agenda, and, you know, the battery dies, you know. But it can be that way in our life, too, the little inside battery. But Jamie, Rachel's husband, came and rescued us. We got a new battery. And fortunately, we were able to get the same guy, and he was so sweet. She passed, and watch out, she's on the road. So now I'm like 4 hours behind schedule because that took a while. But when I went home and I was just going through this week's lesson, I was so recharged, you know, and just was so stirred by the lesson this week to be of sound faith. So I'm excited to get in to the teaching. But a couple announcements real quick before we do. First of all, I want to thank those of you who have been praying for Carol and the Goodnow family, and thank those of you who came and blessed them at the memorial yesterday. It was a beautiful celebration of Gary's life. Thank you if you brought food. Thank you if you served. And continue to pray. And I'm sure the days ahead will be challenging, but I know God is faithful, so I wanted to put out a thank you on behalf of her family. You got one of these. Hopefully all of you got one of these. Just sometimes it helps to have the dates in writing and tuck them in your Bible so you know what's going on. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. You can read it there. The 24th, the San Salvador gifts for pastor's wives. Monday, October 31st. Now, this will affect you because we won't have a Bible study, and that will show on your calendars. But we have our big harvest night here, and there's lots of opportunities for volunteers. Watch the bulletin for that. The call, Debbie talked quite a bit about that last Monday. And Terry, do we have flyers out on the, where's Terry? Where's cute Terry? Do we have any of the call flyers out on the table this week? Okay, we'll get some again. But there's the Women's Ministry Connection website is on there, on this flyer. You can go there and find out all the information. You can register off there. Are we still in the early registration timeline? We're still in the early registration, which it's a little cheaper, so you don't want to miss that. Till the 18th, thank you. And then Friday, December 9th, I know you're like, Christmas, are you serious? Are you really talking about Christmas? Well, I am, yes. Okay, one of the reasons we really want to talk about this early is because it's different for us this year. We're doing it on a Friday night. That's different. Usually we do a Monday night or a Saturday, and we're going to do it on a Friday night this year. So we want you to get the date saved on your calendar. It's going to be an amazing night. This whole room is going to be full of tables like this and chairs, and hostesses are going to decorate the tables beautiful. And at your table leader has a sign-up sheet. Some of you signed up last week. We're going to pass them around again this week. If you want to help with this event in any way, we'd love to have your hand. And it is really fun. How many of you have served on a ministry team for the Christmas event in past? Lots of you. Okay, how many of you had fun? How many of you would tell me if you didn't? No. Okay. I won't ask that question then. No. It is really fun. It is one of my favorite events to do throughout the year. Just because it's Christmas and it's the Lord's birth and it's the right focus, and I just love serving with the women. So come out and get involved. And then a reminder, tomorrow morning we're having ladies' prayer at 9 in room 202. If anyone wants to join us, we'd love to have you. And tonight, we are going to be taught by Christy Duff via, everyone's like, where? Are you looking for her? Are you looking for her? She's not here. Christy and Denise and Margie, Janine, Debbie, there's our pastor's wives. They are on a pastor's wives retreat for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, which it's a blessing for them. They just get to get away and be recharged and renewed and refreshed. And I would ask that you would pray for them. It's quite a calling to be a pastor's wife. And I know that they would covet your prayers while they're away and just throughout their service. So, but anyways, Christy wanted to teach on this sound faith. And so we did a little flip. Like, usually Jason is recording and sending it to Texas. Well, she recorded and left it here for us, so it's going to be on the screen, so make sure that you're in a chair where you can see. And then right after Christy's teaching, the gals are going to just bring the lights up so it's not so dark here in the front, and table leaders, you'll go right into group, okay? So go ahead and cue the DVD and enjoy Christy's teaching and your group discussion.
Hi, girls. I wish I could be there with you tonight, but I'm so happy that God given us the technology of video. It's an awesome, awesome thing. In Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 10, you can turn your Bibles there, Titus 1, verse 10. And some of you girls might know that we're at the Pastor's Wives Conference this week, or maybe we're in Tahiti. You don't really know. But I miss your sweet faces, and I'll be back with you next week, and I can't wait to be with you. So bring your adorable selves back next week. And tonight, Titus 1, chapter 1, verse 10, why don't we stand together? For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work." Lord, we come before you tonight, and God, you're so amazing, Lord, the fact that you would dwell in us, the fact that you call us your temples. Lord, would you go before this night? Would you be with each woman that is in here today? Would you be with each woman that will be listening on the internet or joining with one of the daytime groups or a later group? God, we pray you would go before this study. Lord, move me out of the way and speak forth your words, God, your pure and living words, which breathe life into our souls. God, soften our hearts tonight. Lord, may we be gentle ground for you. God, may we be in your hands. You are the potter. We are the clay. I pray, Lord, that you would mold us, that you would fashion us, that you would make us what you will. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, looking at these verses, there are so many different directions that we could take it. You know, there's such amazing verses with so many points of aspect in them. Should we talk about idle talkers? You idle talkers, quiet your mouths. Or should we go in the direction of the teachers? Beware of the teachers on TV. They're trying to take all your money. Or giving heed to Jewish fables. Watch out for the Israeli grandpa. If he wants you to sit on his lap and tell you stories, don't do it. Or the direction of the Cretans. 5 points on how not to get the reputation of a liar, an evil beast, or a lazy glutton. I mean, does this verse not make you laugh? One of them, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." And then Paul says, "This testimony is true." I think that that might be the funniest part of these verses. Jason was actually in Crete a couple years ago. He took a Footsteps of Paul tour. And he said it was so funny because he was trying to buy shawarma from one of the Cretans. And the guy kept changing the price. And he was lying to him. And then he asked where Starbucks was, because that's mine and Jason's deal. I don't care where he goes. He can go wherever God wants him to go, but I want a Starbucks city mug from that place. So he was looking for the Starbucks, and the guys kept saying, "Oh, it's just right around the corner, just right around the corner." And then he said he would go around the corner, and there was no Starbucks. And there would be these guys just kind of peeking around the corner. "Oh, look at the American." And they were still liars. And he also said that the bus guy, the bus driver, who was supposed to pick them up, he never showed up. So apparently, you know, the whole testimony of the liars and lazy, I don't know about the evil beast thing, maybe that comes out in a different direction. Anyway, has nothing to do with our study, but kind of does. But as I was praying for you guys and praying for just the direction of this Bible study, the verse that stuck out to me, that the Lord stuck out, is verse 15. "To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure." And I realized, as I was thinking about that verse, as I was praying about these verses, God made me realize that to us, tonight, the heart that he wants to get across to us is that the key to cautioning ourselves in every one of these areas that we're warned about is to be pure in heart. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. It's the pure word of God dwelling in our hearts that will caution us from being idle talkers. It's the pure word of God dwelling in our hearts that will caution us against deceivers. It's the pure word of God dwelling in our hearts that will caution us from going astray, from being idle, from being lazy, and from being dirty in our hearts and minds. So the pure word of God in our lips keeps us from idle talking and from buying in to idle talking. The pure word of God keeps us from idle words. Now, I don't know what you think about when you hear the word idle, but I don't know. I just think of a car, maybe because that's the only time I ever talk about something idling, because nothing in my life is ever idling. It's always go, 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 go. So the only thing that I know of in my life that idles is a car. And I don't know what kind of car you think of, not the cars of today. I have a Toyota Sienna and Jason has a Toyota Highlander. And those things, you can't even feel them idle. You don't even know that they're idling. What I'm talking about is maybe a kind of car that you used to have. Now, when I was in junior high, we moved up to San Francisco. And my dad had been a pastor, and he was going to be a pastor again, and now he's a missionary. But we had these like 3 worldly years. Now, we still went to church, but our focus was just kind of on the world. You know, I just remember this as a junior higher. It was a time in our life, a very unusual time, where we had a lot of money and we were doing good financially. And we had a Mercedes-Benz, a brown Mercedes-Benz. It was super cute. And I went to a private Christian high school, or no, junior high, sorry, private Christian junior high up there. And my dad drove me to school every day. And I loved those times with my dad. I loved it. That was when I first started doing the one-year Bible. My dad would listen to them on cassette tapes, like Debbie Bryson said last week, cassette tapes. You know, maybe some of you know what they are. But we would listen to the one-year Bible, the Reader's Digest version, on the radio every day. And so my dad would drop me off in his Mercedes-Benz, and I was dressed all cute and preppy in my Guess jeans, and I was going to a junior high school that was a preppy, preppy school. And like I said, it was a very short-lived time in our life. My mom and dad are missionaries at heart, and just didn't last. Praise God. But I remember one day he dropped me off in the Mercedes-Benz, and I had no idea that anything in my life was about to change. So after school, waiting for my dad, and all my friends are getting picked up in their limos and their Jags and their amazing fancy cars to drive up on their fancy hills in San Francisco. And all of a sudden I hear, "Christy, Christy!" And I look, and it's my dad. And I thought, oh no. What do I do? Because my dad was not in his Mercedes-Benz. My dad was in what was deemed his dream car. It was an old, nasty, rusty, big, orange Jeep. I was mortified as a snobby seventh grader. Praise God, God reached my heart that day. But it was such a dirty thing, and he said, "Don't you love it? It's so rugged, it's so great." And so I left all my friends with them getting in their limos, and I took my little backpack and I walked over to my dad's Jeep, and I just thought, I'm gonna embrace the Jeep. Fine, we're a Jeep family now. So I got in, and I'll never forget the thing about the Jeep, which maybe some of you guys remember, is the way they idle. Now, I'm sure it's all older cars, but you know how it is, like every day my dad would pull up to my school and kick it into neutral, and I'd be trying to get out, and it's like, and like shaking, and you're trying to get your backpack, and you're trying to say goodbye. And it was idling so loud that we could hardly hear each other. Now, when I think of idle speech, that's what I think of, because it's not just this quiet conversation. Usually, idle speech happens when you don't know what to say. Does anybody else do that? I'm awful at that. When I don't know what to say, I get a lot like Peter, and I just, and I just talk, and that's idle speech. It's like loud and rattling and going nowhere. As Christian women, the pure word of God should cast a weight in our words. The pure word of God should take our words and bring them into a good direction. Every word that we speak, everything that we say should have purpose and it should have weight. Ephesians 4:29-32 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." How, as Christian women, are we to know what to say? How, as Christian women, are we to know what to listen to? How do we let no corrupt word proceed from our mouth? How do we get our words to where they impart grace to the hearers? How do you make words good for necessary edification? If you're ever like me, you just wake up or you're about to go to lunch with somebody or you're about to go somewhere and you just say, "Lord, let my words glorify you." And then so often we fail. It is only by the incorruptible Word of God dwelling inside of us, living inside of us, working inside of us, His Word alone is able to make us wise. It is His Word alone inside of us that does not return void. It is His Word alone inside of us that goes forth to accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. It is His Word alone inside of us coming out that has the weight and is not empty and idle noise. Now in verse 10, it says, "There are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain." And in this verse where Paul's talking about whole households, he's talking about those that would sneak into the church and they were trying to pull them back into the law, into the legalism, into what they had left for the freedom that they had in Christ. But as I was praying about these verses, it applies so much to us as well. These words apply to our households. Isn't it easy to be an idle talker at home? You know, you tend to guard your words when you're with somebody or when you're trying to be careful. Most likely because we're trying very, very hard not to look foolish. We're trying very, very hard to look like we know what we're talking about. You know, do any of you like have a smart face that you try to get, like a yes, yes? Maybe it's just me, I don't know. But it's easy at home to be an idle talker. You know, you're tired, maybe you've had a bad day, you're resting, you're weary, and it's easy to become an idle talker. It's easy to let those words slip past your mouth that you would ordinarily be guarding so well. You know, we would never teach it in a printed Bible study. Okay, children. Okay, husband. Okay, friends. This is how to be an idle talker. But they're lessons that are so quickly picked up from our lives as they watch us, as they listen to us, as they hear our words. Attitudes that are picked up on quickly. Does that ever happen to you? Jonathan, my sweet little 7-year-old boy. You guys heard of him last week. He was the one who pulled out his teeth and painted happy face on the wall with paintbrush tipped in the blood from his mouth. If you didn't hear that, go ahead and get the I don't know what they do on Sundays. I don't think it's a tape. Maybe a CD? Or you can watch it online. There you go. Now I'm all technologically savvy. But Jonathan keeps our life exciting. Someday, by God's grace, I'm sure he'll be just like his daddy, a pastor traveling here and there and flying and needing to have a lot of energy for everything that God has him to do. I'm sure of that. I mean, you should hear him teach a Bible study at our dinner table. The other night he was teaching about Nebuchadnezzar being turned into a beast. And, you know, he had it all down. God came to Nebuchadnezzar and said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are filled with pride and you will turn into a beast. And he stood up and he said, Nebuchadnezzar said, is this not great Babylon which I have built? And at that very moment, he developed nails like an animal and wings like a bird. And he just went on and on. I mean, he's an intense Bible teacher. You know, Jason's like sitting there stealing notes from him. Everything good that Jason has is from Jonathan. But that kid can teach. And someday, God will need all of this energy that is reserved inside of his heart and inside of his soul. But right now, all of that energy needed someday just sits idly in his soul, in his mind, in his body, in my house. And that can make for long, exciting, exasperating days. And when it gets crazy, I think, don't hurt him. He could be the next D.L. Moody. If you hurt him, he will not be the D.L. Moody. I was just talking to his teacher today, which is a couple days ago for you guys, and she just said, he's so fun. She said he stood up in class and he needed to say something and not everybody was sitting down. And he said, I'm not speaking until I have everybody's attention. But, you know, he doesn't want to give that attention to anybody else. And he's just kind of all over the place and he's so fun and he's so exciting. And anyway, so most of these stories that happen in my day, they end with him doing something and me saying, Jonathan, Jonathan, a sigh and a growl. That's usually how it goes. Jonathan, sigh, growl. Happy face, blood on the wall. Jonathan, sigh, growl. He's climbing the walls and has fingerprints all over. Jonathan, sigh, growl. And I'll never forget, a couple weeks ago, I was downstairs in the living room, and he had done something to one of Haley's toys. And he likes the girl's toys, not for like reasons of playing with them, but for like reasons of tying them to things so that his toys can get them. You know, if you have a little boy, you know. And I hear Haley say, Jonathan! And I thought, oh no, it's the Jonathan sigh growl. She got that from me, the Jonathan sigh growl. And you guys know, if you have kids listening to you in your house, you know how heartbreaking it is when they have some kind of bad attitude or some kind of bad thing that they're saying and you're thinking, now what would make them say that? And God's like, you make them say that. You make them act like that. And you just think, oh, Lord Jesus, why did you even give me kids? I'm not a good mom. One of us, you know, because I'm two people. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we're just like, motherhood should not be called motherhood. It should be called condemnationhood. Because don't you just feel constantly guilty? Oh, no, I was a bad example in that. Oh, no, I did this wrong over there. But how quickly our entire households can be subverted by our idle talk and deception when it's not the pure word of God that is bubbling up from our hearts into our mouths, into our household. Proverbs 24:3 says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. It's our choice. It's our choice what comes out of our mouth. It's our choice. We can't have good, pure words coming out of our mouths, if we're not putting the good, pure words in. Essential, if you're a mom in here who has kids at home. Essential, if you're a woman that works in your workplace and you desire to affect it. Essential, if you're a godly woman that's seeking to submit to and serve her husband. Essential, if you're teaching children's ministry. Essential, if you just want to be a godly woman. We must have the pure Word of God dwelling in our hearts, dwelling in our minds, if we want to stay away from being an idle talker. Verse 15 says, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. Wow, that's heavy. That's heavy. Verse 16 goes on to say, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Those are heavy verses. Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. What does it mean to walk worthy? Ephesians 4 goes on to tell us, starting in verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work with all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. See, without the pure Word of God as our compass, without the pure Word of God as our bearing point, we have no direction to our path. We have no direction to our words. We have no direction to our path. There's no telling what we will end up doing. Have you ever talked to somebody, or maybe, precious girls, you've been one of those, that has found yourself in a place, in a situation, and you just think, I never thought I'd be here. I don't know how I got here. I can't imagine it. I don't know what got me here. The pure Word of God, daily poured into our lives, will keep us from that tragic moment. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. His word leads us, guides us, directs us. We need the pure Word of God in our lives, washing us and leading us. See, His Word in us is a manual of how God desires us to live. But, not in a striving sense. See, I was so struck this morning reading Philippians in the one-year Bible. And it says there in Philippians, let this mind which was in Christ be in you. And I was so struck by the word let. Not make this mind which was in Christ be in you. Not put this mind which was in Christ be in you. But let this mind which was in Christ be in you. See, the Word of God in us is not something that we can ever strive to do. It's the manual that God wants us to live our life by, but it was never intended for us to look at it, to read it, to say, okay, that's what I'm gonna do. You know, do you ever hear kids battling with the Word of God? Maybe not your kids, I'm sure they do, but my kids battle with the Word of God. And we had the cutest little neighbor girl over the other day, little Anya Wheatley. She's adorable. My kids love to play with her. And I was out in the backyard gardening, and she was out, and all the kids were playing together, and it was after school, and so, you know, it's like always a fun playtime after school, but it's also like a little edgy because they're really tired and they've had long days, and I don't know what Jonathan had done to her, but I hear her saying, Jonathan, she's so cute, she had her little hand on her hip, Jonathan, the Bible says to let your yes be yes and your no, no. If you're going to love God, you have to be a man of your word. And I just thought, go on, yeah, that's awesome. But you know, sometimes we can be like that. God's word is to direct us, but we can never direct ourselves in God's word by striving, by our strength, by our energy. It has to be a work of God in us. Isn't that so often how we feel? We know what the Bible verse says. There's that girl, she's coming, and you just kind of clash a little, and you don't mean to, and you really wish you didn't feel like that toward her, but she's coming, and you just think, Bible says I have to love. Hi, Bible says I have to love you, so I love you. And I just see God, and he's saying, no. No, not you have to love, but with my word in you, you will love. You know those verses in the Gospels, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Not you must be, but the more time you spend with me, the more you will be. See, the word of God, the word of God is something that God wants to do in our hearts. Because, sweet girls, you guys know as good as me, on our best day, our righteousness is as filthy rags. There is none good, no, not one. The word of God isn't an instruction guide. The word of God is a shower. The word of God is a shower. We can't read the words and apart from the Holy Spirit decide, this is how I'm going to live. Watch out, world. I'm going to follow God. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. You know, we can't just decide that we're not going to be an idle talker. We can't just decide that we're not going to listen to the deceivers. We can't just decide that our mouths must be stopped and I must rebuke sharply. It's impossible. We'll fall flat on our faces within, 1 minute if you're me. It has to be the Holy Spirit in our lives, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We were never meant to read this book and do it on our own. We were meant to wash ourselves daily with his word. Do you remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? And he comes to Peter, and Peter says, no, Lord, you will never wash me. And Jesus says to Peter, if I don't wash you, then you'll have no part with me. And Peter says, well, not just my feet, but wash my head and everything. Wash it all, Lord. And Jesus says, no, if you've been cleansed, you only need to have your feet washed. And sweet girls, we have been cleansed. We've been bathed with salvation. And if you haven't been, I encourage you, talk to a table leader. Talk to Roslyn or anybody that you can find. Talk to them and just say, I want to be bathed with salvation. But for most of us, we've had that moment where we've been bathed with salvation. And I love what Jesus says. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. Because see, as we walk through this world, we get dirty. and we don't mean to. We're not intentionally getting dirty. We're just walking in the mall and we look to the left and there's a yucky store right there and suddenly we're full of thoughts. I wish I looked like that. Oh, I'm sad I don't. And oh, wow, they wear those. And just yuckiness that just comes from being in this world. We don't mean to, but you guys know. It's a camping life right now. We're pilgrims, we're traveling, and when you go camping, you get dirty. I love camping, but I don't like dirty feet. And there's just this battle within me. Go camping, clean feet, go camping, clean feet. We get dirty in this life. And sometimes, don't we get a little content with the dirtiness, you know? Sometimes, like, we're just praising God that we're saved, just praising God that we go to heaven. And sometimes, some of us, well, we would be content to get to heaven, but we just look a little bit like Pigpen. Do you remember Pigpen from Charlie Brown? I think that was his name. Is it his name? Okay, I see you nodding. Just kidding. But we're content to be like Pigpen. Remember him? He had like the black lines all over his face and he had like the cloud of dirt going around him and the little flies buzzing around. And we're just praising God because we're saved. Woohoo! But we're a little bit dirty. And I love it because we need to be washed daily with the word. And when God is telling us to submit to our husbands, or for the husbands to love the wives as Christ loved the church, he mentions how he washes us. And he says, as Christ in Ephesians 5, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And I love that. I love that. We can never decide to obey the word of God. But like we decide to take a shower every day, like we decide to put deodorant on every day, we need to decide to wash ourselves with the whole counsel of God every day. It's got to be just you and him. He knows where the dirt is. He knows where the grime is. You know, did your mom ever tell you, wash behind your ears? Or my mom used to tell me, you've got a dirty neck. And I would say, Mom! And she's like, wouldn't you rather me tell you than somebody else? And I'm like, I don't want anybody to tell me I have a dirty neck. So if my neck looks dirty, just don't tell me. But it needs to be just you and Jesus. And it needs to be the whole counsel of God. I love women's ministry. You guys know that, I told you. I love fall because I love women's ministry. And I love Sunday mornings. And I love Wednesday nights. But it is impossible to teach through the whole counsel of God on a week-by-week basis. When's the last time you ever heard of women's ministry? Going through the book of Ezekiel. Join us as we sweetly study the book of Ezekiel. But Ezekiel is essential to our Christian lives. Without Ezekiel, how would you know that God's glory is like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day? Lessons like, you shall speak my words to them. Whether they hear or whether they refuse, speak my words. See, the whole counsel of God is essential for cleansing our body. Nahum is an awesome, tiny, tiny book. But if it's up to just a pastor to feed you the word, well, how often is he going to get into the book of Nahum? If it's just up to him. And without the book of Nahum, how would you know that the Lord is slow to anger and great in power? That he's good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. The clouds are the dust of his feet. Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, women's Bible studies. Essential, important, fun, amazing, and awesome. But girls, we need to be washed by the pure word of God. The entire thing. The whole counsel of God. On a regular basis. And I've got to be honest, that's why I'm so into the one-year Bible. Because it takes you through it all. There's not one verse that is not meant to cleanse you, to cleanse me, to impart grace to those who hear. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. He's the secret revealer. And He wants to spend time with me. He wants to spend time with you, imparting His secrets to us. That's amazing to me. It needs to be you and your washer alone each day. I loved Isaiah in the 1 year Bible. I'm heartbroken that we're almost done with it. And Isaiah 51:10, it said, "Are you not the one who dried up the sea?" And I just loved that description of our God. I love that. He's the one who dried up the sea, and He wants to spend time with us. It's Him alone that can cleanse us. It's Him alone that can wash us. It's Him alone that can impart purity to our hearts, impart purity to our minds. I'll never forget in high school, Mrs. Barger was one of my Bible teachers, and I loved it. I'm ecstatic that my kids get to be a part of this school. We have the most amazing teachers that just pour into our kids. We've had, I don't know why I feel like crying. I'm so blessed. We've had so many awesome people come through those classrooms, and the teachers pour into them. And I'll never forget 1 year, Mrs. Barger, she was teaching, and she mentioned that Abraham Lincoln had read through the Bible 1 year for every year that he was alive. And I loved that. It sparked my heart, and I have never looked back. What an awesome thing. Now, I've only read through the Bible, I think it's 18 or 19 times. I keep getting confused. I would love to say that it's 34 because I want to get to my age, but maybe I should have done that before kids because now I can only handle it like one time each year. But what an awesome, awesome thing. It's the Word of God in our hearts. The Word of God that keeps us from being an idle talker. It's the pure Word of God that keeps us from being deceived. But it's not going to happen right away. It takes time. A daily sowing of the Word of God. A daily sitting at the feet of Jesus. A daily time in His Word. It's not a one-time deal, girls. It's not. We need His Word every day. Isaiah 55:10-13 says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." I just moved into my house 3 months ago, and it's covered with weeds. And I would love to just instantaneously snap my fingers and make those weeds go away. But you guys know who do it. It takes a killing of the weeds, scooping out of the weeds, tilling of the soil, planting new things. And precious girls, that is the Word of God in us. The pure Word of God. Able to make us wise, able to keep us from idle speech, able to keep us from being deceived, able to keep us from subverting whole households, the renewing of our mind day by day to get the dirt out, to get the pure water in. We need it oh so much. Lord, God, would you fill our lives with your word? Would you fill our hearts with your word? Would you fill our mouths and our minds with your word, God? Lord, be with the girls as they have their sweet table talk time. Be with the table leaders. Pour wisdom upon them. God, may your word be a reality in our lives, and may it be you springing forth out of us nothing good in ourselves that we could ever do, but you and you alone. Oh Lord, would you fill us with you? We love you, our sweet dryer of the sea. You amaze us. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
It was like she was just here, huh? Okay, it's go ahead and go into table talk time, and then I'm just going to remind the table leaders to watch your time for prayer. I'm not going to come back up and make an announcement for that. So, and those of you ladies who are in the back who want to move forward, there's lots of empty chairs in the front here. I'm sure the gals would love to have you join them. And God bless you. We will see you again next week after you're done.